welcome to this hour of the show, folks. We're going to talk about something that's hard to actually believe. Some of you watch TV all the time. Some of you maybe watch this show. I don't, and I don't ever intend to. Can you believe it? On ABC TV. Now, we know that the networks are liberal. I've just always assumed that for years and decades. Of course, they're going to go liberal, and you're going to see people talk about having affairs. And they have a show now called Good Christian Bitches. Yes, you heard me. Good Christian Bitches is a show, a TV show on ABC TV. Good Christian Bitches. Now, I'm just ever so curious, what on the world is that about? I've asked Reverend Ted Pike. He's an activist. He's a reverend. He has an international prayer group. Truthtellers.org tells you a lot more. And he's determined to not make it easy for good Christian bitches to make money. It is a full-on assault to Christianity, common sense, and decency. Oh, Ted, it's so good to have you back. I mean, when I got your call, I thought, what is he smoking? They actually are putting on a show called Good Christian Bitches. Have we drifted so far to the point where that's a show?
Yes, we have. And it's gone through six airings, a total of 10. But we are calling for boycotting of the many sponsors. Truthtellers.org is our website. We have successfully persuaded 11 major advertisers not to advertise anymore on GCB or Good Christian Bitches. But the content of the show is beyond. It's over the top, unbelievably a sacrilegious, blasphemous, irreverent, intolerant, bigoted. In fact, I wrote an article which is at our website, truthtellers.org, and I said this is a hate crime in any other country of the world, which is dominated by hate laws, especially those that are made by the Anti-Defamation League, a Jewish organization. This would be considered a Jewish hate crime against Christians because Robert Iger, the head of ABC Disney, is a pious, devout, observant Jew, and yet he knows all of this is going on. This could never go forward without his permission from beginning to end. And not only that, but it's studded with Jews, homosexual Jews. Darren Starr is a raving homosexual producer of Desperate Housewives and Melrose Place, and he's the executive producer of it. Alan Poole is the actual director, and he is a really militant homosexual, Jewish homosexual. Aaron Kaplan is the producer. This is a religious assault against conservative mainline Bible Belt Christianity. It's set in Dallas, Texas. It's holding up Bible Belt believers as unbelievably bigoted and narrow and backstabbing and petty, immoral, drunken, adulterous, even closet homosexuals. They've got everything in here for the purpose of trashing Christianity and making especially young people who are watching this program determined never to darken the door of a church again.
So let's talk, what is the basic skeletal structure of the show? Is it about a bunch of women saying they're Christians and obviously and magically they're hypocrites and nasty to people? Okay, hang on, we're going to dive in. We're talking about Good Christian Bitches, which is a show on ABC TV on the national scale, if you can believe it. What is that about? We're talking with Ted Pike from TruthTellers.org. We're talking with Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org, and he's talking about a TV show that's very disturbing. At least it should be disturbing to you if you have a conscience. ABC TV is showing Good Christian Bitches. Ted, you were just talking with me on the break about what they were saying around Easter special. I mean, give us an idea of what these characters are about. Obviously, they have a bunch of Christian women who they portray as nothing but hypocrites and jerkweeds who hurt people and are, you know, I can only imagine what they're doing.
Yeah. Easter time, ABC made a conspicuous point of doing a double header in which they united two episodes back to back, and they say that their promotional blurb said, "Nobody does Easter like Good Christian Bitches, or GCB." And what they did for 2 hours from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock Pacific. Here, I'll just give you a little overview. We have okay. a recap of it. Let me just explain some of the characters here. The heroine Amanda is not a Christian, and consistently all through in every episode, Amanda, in her agnosticism, is shown as moral, sensitive, caring, reasonable, rational, all this kind of thing. But her former high school mates hate her because she was such a bitch in high school, but they remain bitches, but they're all devout Christians. They wear the finest clothes. They sing in the choir. They posture as Christians in this large evangelical church in Dallas, Texas. And the promoters of this sitcom says that they say, well, this may not represent all Christian women in America, but they say the women in Dallas, Texas, who claim to be Christians are especially backbiting and hypocritical, fleshly, and so on. And so this is a parody on the extremes of their behavior. And this I'll just read a few lines of this. Cricket is one of these bitchy Christians, always posturing in church, in the choir, and so on. But she has a homosexual Christian husband, Blake, and they are so sexually dysfunctional because of this sexual incompatibility. And she drinks a lot. They have a so-called white marriage. This episode includes a joke about the verse, "His rod and thy staff, they comfort me," being a euphemism, obviously a sexual euphemism. And a lot of Bible verses are used in this in a twisted, very anti-Christian way, used to mock Christians. Another bitch, Sharon, spreads all kinds of malicious gossips in order to manipulate people. Because this is the dynamics, the real guts of this film, this sitcom, is produced by homosexual Jews. Christian heterosexual marriages are held up as materialistic and self-serving. And yet this homosexual, Christian homosexual, like Amanda, is exempt from bitter sarcasm because he's a homosexual. They're homosexuals, and a big part of this program is contrasting a so-called Christian who's a homosexual with the rest of the Christians who are heterosexual. And this fellow, Blake, the husband of Cricket, shows himself one of the most likable characters in every single episode, even though he is getting the phone numbers of guys at the sex bars and has sex with his ranch hands and so on. They applaud him basically for being balanced and even compatible and sympathetic with his wife. His wife, Cricket, in fact, she hires male fitness instructors to have sex with her because she's so sexually dysfunctional with her homosexual Christian husband. And then the second episode is sex theme. The pastor of the church dines at a Hooters-style restaurant called Boobylicious. And
you gotta be. So this is the pastor now.
This is the pastor of the church. Uh-huh. And he offers to hire Amanda, and Amanda has gotten a job there as a waitress in skin-tight short shorts. And she has that was the only place she could get a job was in this semi-strip club. Because all the Christians wouldn't hire her, Christians would discriminate against her, and so on. And so she goes home, and then she initiates sex with one of the bitch's little brothers. She has sex on the program, and then the dysfunctional Christian bitch with her homosexual husband, they, however, want to have a child, but they reject a potential surrogate mother when she says she campaigned for Obama. And this, of course, is a dig at the conservative Christians of the South. And then the pastor, incredibly, the pastor wants to have a big love-in at the church, and he assigns all quote-unquote committed couples, married or otherwise entwined, homosexual, gay, teenagers, men and women, regardless of being married, to have sex daily for a week. And he thinks this will unify his church, make his church a more loving church. This is the kind of fictitious caricatures that the homos behind this sitcom are portraying, stereotyping as Christians. And then Carlene is the major bitch. She watches as Amanda's daughter bites off a churro while a boy holds it. Lots of other stuff like that going on here, sex symbolism. And then Sharon's husband admits to watching pornography, and she doesn't object. A cricket asks her husband whether he's on the top or the bottom when he has sex with men. This is supposed to be all Christian families here. And then the mother of Amanda doesn't want to marry her sweetheart, before testing his so-called stick shift. Again,
oh,
a sexual
Lord.
Innuendo. And however, he doesn't want to disrespect her with premarital sex. And then Carlene starts an abstinence club for the youth who promised to not even fantasize about sex while dressed head to toe in white. And then Amanda, however, a non-Christian, but ever the most sympathetic, rounded character, opposes the abstinence club because it doesn't include education. She says all you're doing is demonizing sex. And so Carlene throws a cartoonish event warning about STDs and other consequences of promiscuity. But this is all worthless, all this Christian education, because she makes it look ridiculous, because she comes home and finds her son is being found engaging in foreplay in the closet with Amanda's daughter. Now, all that goes on Easter Sunday for 2 hours.
It's far beyond. I mean, people poke fun at themselves for hypocrisy, and there's hypocrisy in the church like there is in the non-church and everything else. But it sounds to me like this went way beyond normal laughing at our mistakes and our sin and our fallibility, and way beyond that to a point, a real organized and funded move to mock Christianity.
Absolutely.
Way beyond fun at our foibles, isn't it?
Yeah, it has an unremitting emphasis upon sex with young teenagers, 14-year-olds, talking sex, thinking sex, watching sex on the internet, all kinds of stuff, even unmentionable here on the radio, to what the kids are doing as part of these dysfunctional families of these Christian bitches, both men and women. But the men also are portrayed as adulterous and conniving, materialistic, the same way. But the whole picture is given that the last thing any sane person would want to do is to become a Christian, because again, the Amanda is hired at this boobylicious sex bar, and all the people there, the waitresses in their skimpy clothing, the bar people, they're all very reasonable, relaxed, normal, compassionate, and caring. But you get over to the other side of town where the Christians live in their huge mansions, ostentatious mansions. They fly these cavernously large biz jets around and wear the plunging necklines, short skirts, loaded down with makeup, you know, Tammy Faye Baker type of makeup all over their faces. It's just an absolute caricature of everything that you would not want you and your family to be involved in on a religious level?
Well, I'm still trying to think in my mind, having been raised in a Christian home and as a Christian, I drive a used car and live in a double wide. I don't have a lot of money at all. Most people I know in the church I go to are normal people who work for a living, who try to be sincere. I don't know any Tammy Faye Baker types or caricatures or people who go around and can't wait to get on the porno site and can't wait to sleep with their brother in the closet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ted. I still can't find anybody that I know in my mind, and I know a lot of Christians.
Yeah. Do you want me to give you a little recap of last night's episode?
Sure.
Okay. GCB opens with the young pastor stealing sermon leaflets from another local church and admitting his competitive feelings toward his pastor, who approaches him with thinly veiled meanness. To help the pastor boost his image, Amanda, that's the non-Christian, volunteers to run a church musical. The bitches are appalled at having to audition before Amanda, who, of course, is their big rival. Cricket, this is the one who hires, Cricket hires male studs to have sex with her. Cricket tries out for the role of the Holy Spirit by singing "This Little Light of Mine," but Carlene interrupts it with a loud operatic version. Butting in front of each other like children, Cricket and Carlene continue to serve as the show's unlikable, laughable buffoons. However, Carlene wins the role as the Holy Spirit. She's the ultimate bitch, and her husband is set to play Jesus. A Cricket haughtily rejects the role of the leper healed by Christ. The competitive pastor stops by to insult rehearsals of the musical and reinforce the stereotype of materialistic, superficial Christian. The homosexual Blake, in a sparkling silver toga, gyrates his hips and hams it up after being, quote, raised from the dead.
Oh, so he gets to play Jesus, the gay guy.
Yeah, he plays Lazarus, Lazarus rising from the dead. And to represent the Holy Spirit, Amanda, that's the non-Christian, wears a low-cut, bedazzled white ball gown and a pair of white wings so enormous she can't pass through doorways. And then Amanda doesn't really value that role as playing the Holy Spirit. She offers the role of the Holy Spirit back to Cricket, the one who has sex with her trainers, to get her to finance better staging. Then Carlene, the ultimate bitch, threatens the musical writer with scripture and loss of her business unless she rewrites the script so Carlene can stay the star. When all the bitches' egos collide in the church sanctuary, they turn on irreligious Amanda. Once again, she shows herself the most reasonable and likable character, who afterwards sits in a pew and humbly examines her own character and then helps the bitches reconcile. Again, always the secular, even the homosexual, are held up as the reasonable people. And then, in a rare positive moment, Carlene's husband in the costume of Jesus blocks the women from the entrance to the church until they promise to behave properly. In the musical's opening number, all the cast members dance. This is supposed to be honoring Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Hold on. We'll be back with Ted Pike. I have to put some more mascara on because I found out I have to wear more. We'll be back. We're talking with Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org, and he's talking about a TV show that ABC airs called Good Christian Bitches. It was called that in Australia and aired a whole season there, and they have manipulated the name, but it's essentially the same thing, Good Christian Bells, here in America. But, oh my word, you're just describing every Christian in the show is demonized on a regular basis. They're just bad people. Again, it's one thing to make fun of yourself. It's another thing to have an entire show that just maligns Christianity. I mean, can you imagine doing this to Islam and Islamics?
Yeah. Well, can you imagine? Not only Islam, but Judaism. What if somebody came out, what if a public figure even used the phrase good Jewish bitches? the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Civil Liberties Union, these Jewish-dominated attack groups, so-called civil liberties groups, would go ballistic. They would demand that person, that politician or religious leader, grovel before them in abject self-hate and self-castigation. I mean, there'd be no end to it. But here we have 10 episodes on national TV watched by 7 million people, and they have the complete right to say, call Christians good Christian bitches. They have the right to compare Christian women to dogs. Now, that, that's beyond the pale of any standard of civility. I mean, we under the First Amendment, we uphold the right of people to criticize other religions.
Sure.
Doctrinal differences and so on. We do not uphold the right to create contrived caricatures of those religions which have no basis in reality, which are broad and absolutely defaming and indicting and so on. And that's what this program is all about, is creating people that you would never recognize. There are lots of hypocrites in the church. There's no doubt about that. But there's a lot of hypocrites in the synagogue. There's hypocrites in Islam. There are hypocrites in Buddhism and so on. But while we have the right to specifically criticize people according to specific behaviors, we do not uphold the right to revile and make distorted misrepresentations of those people for the purpose of mockery. And that's exactly what this program is all about. Just a couple of lines of this last recap.
Okay.
I was talking about this musical that Amanda was sponsoring for the church to help this poor pastor who has such a bad image of himself feel better about himself. It's supposed to exalt Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And in the musical's opening number, all the cast members dance to Dixie Chicks' Just Gotta Dance musical selection. And the actors playing Jesus and the Holy Spirit toast each other with large gold wine goblets. Later, Jesus and the Holy Spirit sing a Broadway-style song while playing electric guitars. Now, that, in my opinion, that's coming pretty close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit himself. You know, Jesus said, if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it may be forgiven you, but if you revile and speak against the Holy Spirit and mock him, as this charade is doing, it's not going to be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Now, the great travesty, is also that there is a complete absence, and I'm using the word complete with all accuracy. There is a complete absence of criticism from the leadership organizations of the Christian religious right in America. There are two organizations, the 1 million moms that's associated with the American Family Association. They've been calling for protest, and another organization called the American Decency Institute or something like that, and they've also been doing that. But where is James Dobson? Where is Family Research Council? Where is even Trinity Broadcasting Network or James Land, head of the Southern Baptists, or on and on? I could give 100 names here. People like John Hagee who have claimed they have 99 million Christians listening to every broadcast. They are absolutely silent. And that is a very great question that stands before us, is why? Why are they silent when their Lord is being pistol-whipped and kicked and in the gutter? And, you know, Jesus said, if they hate you, if they persecute you, really, he says, they are hating and persecuting me. It's not the women in Dallas, Texas, who are the main brunt of this. It's Jesus Christ and the power of his shed blood at Calvary to create new and holy and righteous and human people, that resurrecting them from the dead. But what this Sitcom is saying is, hey, folks, if you become a Christian, if you start trusting in Jesus, you're going to turn into this misshapen, hypocritical, backstabbing monster like the good Christian bitches in Dallas.
Yet we're not supposed to say anything about Islam. When you look at the judge's ruling, Mark Martin, who said that the Islamic guy with his 9-year-old who had physically attacked the other guy in the Halloween parade, who dared to be a zombie Muhammad next to the zombie Pope and all the other zombies and vampires and things. It was a Halloween parade. He physically attacked him. And what does the judge rule? Oh, that's appropriate. That's fine. He has a right to physically attack him. Under that idea, the KKK has a right to physically attack the blacks because it really is bothering to them that they walk down the street. But yet, Christianity, as you just pointed out, it's mainstream ABC TV now. Mock, mock, mock.
Yes.
Anything to do with Christianity. When Sharia law is apostate, Sharia law is infecting and zipping its way through our country with idiot rulings like this. And it is, you know, it talks about executing gays and beatings and rapes of Muslim wives and executing people who convert to another faith. And it is the most oppressive, anti-constitutional thing yet. But yet people don't touch that. What is going on with that?
Well, what's going on is the same way with the hate crimes laws. In the Anti-Defamation League, of course, is Jewish. And it has established hate crimes laws in something like 60 nations of the world now. And under these hate crimes laws, it is taken for granted that there is no equality for Christians under the hate crimes laws. The Christians are viewed as the historical oppressors, the oppressor class who kept down the homosexuals, kept down the blacks, kept down the women, kept down the Indians, and on. And it's payback time. It's time for it to be, we can have a field day criticizing Christianity, mocking it in the most bigoted way, and we're supposed to laugh about that. We're supposed to laugh at ourselves and say, oh, this is good, clean fun. Can't you take a joke? In fact, that's what the producers of Good Christian Bitches are telling us in press releases. Oh, what's all this controversy? We should just laugh about it. You know, we fail, we fall short, and let's just have fun. But it's at the expense of Christians. It's not at the expense of Jewish women or Muslim women or any other kind of women. It's Christian women who are held up for mockery and ridicule.
So what do we do? What can be done? What can people do?
What can be done right now is if people can come to truthtellers.org, we have a complete list of all the sponsors who are advertising on GCB. Very easy. We have their phone numbers. We have their email addresses. Just spend a few hours going through those lists. You can get them right on the homepage at truthtellers.org. And we even have a statement there. We have convinced 11 major sponsors. We've convinced Kraft and Pepsi and Huggies and Progressive and Bare Essentials and Marshalls, Lint, Royal Caribbean, and a number of other ones to dump Christian Bitches, to make clear statements to the public. They are not going to allow their reputations as family-friendly businesses to be tarnished by association with this. And there is evidence also that even though we have 11 who have kind of come out of the closet, so to speak, and publicly declared they're disgusted with this, there may be many, many more of these many sponsors who are wanting to quietly retire. In fact, quite a few, many, many sponsors advertised once but haven't advertised again. So I believe we are having a somewhat hidden impact. One of the things that the promoters of GCB are wanting to do is find out whether this sitcom is popular enough to replace Desperate Housewives next season at the same time slot. And even if we can't really shut it down now, we can send a very powerful message through our threat to boycott sponsors and our criticisms that we won't tolerate them coming around a second time.
So the journey on this protest is just beginning, or have you been doing this for weeks on this?
Well, they've gone through 6 episodes now out of 10, so we've passed the halfway mark, and I had hoped we would get more and really gut the sponsorship of this, but it doesn't seem to materialize at this time. However, there are many people, hundreds if not thousands out there, who are calling, who are coming to Truth Tellers, getting these numbers and letting them know we are angry, we will not stand for this, and taking action. The important thing is not just to grouse about this and say, well, I don't think anything can be done, because our business is a protest.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. You can't make it up, folks. Wow. Everybody's special except Christians. Let's mock them all over the place and make it a hit show on ABC TV. Apparently that's where we're at.
No, this is not American Idol, so keep your shirt on and keep your powder dry. Dr. Lori Roth will be back in just mere moments.
Friend Ted Pike, leader of truthtellers.org. Go there and you can find out what's going on with this show on ABC. They call it Good Christian Bells, but it's really Good Christian Bitches, which is what it was called in Australia, and that's how they portray the women that are Christians, all like bitches. They're hypocrites, they're jerks, and it's the whole show's a mockery, and they think it's just fun and, oh, tongue-in-cheek, it's all nice, you know, let's just make fun of the Christians. Except the only good people in it are the secular people and the gay guy.
Yeah.
Try that with Muslims. Try that with Jews. It wouldn't fly in America. Try that with black people.
No,
these people, again, we get away with murder every time with Christians. It's okay to slaughter them and insult them and betray them and malign them. If you like what you hear, and not that you like hearing about the show, but we need to stand against it. Go to therothshow.com. Scroll on down. We are short this month. I mentioned it in the hour previous. And I hate doing this kind of stuff. I'm not a beggar. We need your help. We need some donations that are sizable to get through this transition. We need some more sponsors. We're growing. We're reasonably priced. Click on PayPal.com. PayPal button right there at therothshow.com. I'll be back.
Her name is Dr. Lori Roth. Here she is again, right now.
We're talking with Reverend Ted Pike at truthtellers.org. You're talking about a TV show that you're up in arms about. It's kind of quiet here in this country about it. A Good Christian Bitches, it was called. In Australia, the same exact show, and now it's Good Christian Bells. It's a mockery of Christian women, and I laugh at myself. Nobody's perfect. Of course, there's hypocrites in churches and things, but again, this would never ever even be attempted to have this kind of humor and mockery of Muslim women. Good Muslim bitches? Are you kidding? Good Jewish bitches? Look, good black bitches. Oh, but no. Good Christian bitches, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's a double standard in the liberal establishment. Christians are fair game. It's payback time because they've been the historic oppressors. But Christians have got to stand up now and say that our conception of turning the other cheek does not mean we stay silent and let these evil people trample our Lord and Savior and his followers. I want to just encourage people to come to truthtellers.org. We have lots of articles on this controversy there. People can read those right on the home page in our archive section. And go back to your churches. The churches need to be aware of what's going on. We need Christians who'll stand up in the Sunday evening service and say there's a tremendous travesty as Jesus Christ and his church are being mocked. Come to Truth Tellers, learn about it. Let's get organized. You know, even a few dozen calls from the average person, church could have tremendous impact on these sponsors. Do you realize that these sponsors consider one call standing for 1,000 people who feel the same way, but didn't have the scratch to pick up that phone or send that email. And so you have a lot of power when you actually make a phone call to the customer service representatives of these country, these companies, and tell them you will not stand for this. You're going to boycott their product if they keep supporting GCB. They say, hey, that computes to 1,000 people who might have bought a Ford from us or might have bought some product from us. So don't underestimate yourself saying, well, there's nothing I can do, you know, the Lord is coming soon, we're going to be raptured and all this kind of stuff. No, we're to occupy, we're to stand in the gap, we are to join with the Holy Spirit in resisting the spirit of Antichrist while there is still time.
Can you give out your website one more time?
Yeah, truthtellers, that's one word, truthtellers.org. And right on the homepage, you'll see all these articles. We have lots. We're actually the world's primary resource center for hate crimes legislation concerning its theory and abuses and so on. But we also speak out against anti-Christianity whenever it rears its ugly head.
What do you think about hate crimes or hate speech laws?
Well, that's what we specialize in, and it comes from the same source. The Anti-Defamation League is the architect of hate crimes legislation worldwide. ADL is a Jewish attack organization that is militantly anti-Christian. In fact, Rabbi Lappin, Daniel Lappin, who's right up in your area, he made a very powerful statement a number of years ago on Trinity Broadcasting. I heard it. He said that ADL and these secular Jews are in militant, aggressive attack on evangelical Christianity. We have to listen to him. He's an Orthodox rabbi, and he's not anti-Semitic in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
We have to realize there's a war here going, and we have to stand up for our Lord and Savior.
Check out truthtellers.org. Ted, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Lori.
The fight continues. Later. Bye.
Bye.